You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. It was a very newsy day yesterday. I mean, there was one game of some importance that didn't go well to get to, but as far as locally. But we had people from both the Texans and the Rockets talking. So we'll hear from both teams today as Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone gave their State of the Union about the team and the offseason and how this season played out. So we will hear from them. As I stated several times leading up to this day, that now that the season is over, and even before, the long articles about the Rockets will start to come. And the added attention of having Kevin Durant will lead to more people writing about this team. And we got a big one on ESPN. You can go to ESPN.com and find it right now. Tim McMahon, Ramona Shelburne combined to write an article, a long one, on the Rockets and their journey to this point. And they talked to people inside the organization. Hell, we got pushback from Rafael Stone in the presser. And Ime pushed back on the assertion that there are bad vibes around the team. So a lot to get to. There is some things that may take you aback, like the assertion or the evaluation of Reed Shepard that he could be a Hall of Famer like Steve Nash. That's in the article. It's tough to hear that considering what he just did. Now, if you want to side with that evaluation or something close to that, you could say, hey, Steve Nash wasn't Steve Nash very early in his career. So that's fine.
Yeah.
That is what John Granato talked about this morning. What was Steve Nash before he became the guy?
His first all-star team when he was 27. Reed's got seven more years.
That's correct. I would simply hesitate to compare anyone to a future Hall of Famer. It seems you're getting ahead of yourself just to look. It seems a little much. And so they weren't talking about young Steve Nash. Like, hey, Reed can be this guy. Oh, one of the more unique players in the last 25 years.
Who needed an offensive revolution led by his head coach
to unlock him. And
does our
head coach feel like a guy who's going to do that?
He's working.
So, yes, there are a lot of factors that would tell you to maybe.
Ime Udoka is like, he's more like 50-year-old Steve
Well,
Nash.
The, well, you,
rather
well,
have that guy up.
The rival exec said, more like Steve Kerr. So that's in the article. So there are things that certainly would make you take pause when you hear the Steve Nash comp. But, hey, that's somebody inside the organization who feels very good about Reed. So be it. Here's a quote when you think about what they're going to do, what they can be, what do the Rockets believe they are currently. We aren't thinking we've got to win now because we're in KD's window. We are hyper-focused on our young core. Our five guys have a chance to win a lot of games together for a long time. We don't want to make the mistake other teams have, have of giving up on guys too soon. We want a 10-year run. Apparently, this Rocket source thinks it's the year 2005, where the NBA allows you to keep a core together for a decade. The financials simply don't let it happen. So whatever they think of their young core, the likelihood of them all being here for a decade feels wrong, unless Tari is just going to take the mid-level the taxpayer mid-level, and that's going to be fine.
It's like the OKC a young core of like, yeah, Westbrook, Durant, you know, got to get rid of Harden. Can't keep Harden.
Kendrick. They all.
Someone's got to be the Nick Collison. Nick Collison was the Thunder his entire career.
That's right.
You know, that and he was drafted right with those guys, a little before those guys. But, yeah, if you're going to keep five of them, one of them's going to be Keldon Johnson. One of them's going to be.
And even Keldon Johnson
coming
got
off
paid.
The bench.
But even forget about the too many balls things as far as guys want their opportunities, which is something Tari had expressed before the year. Just how are you going to pay everyone to be a part of a five-man core?
I do think with everything that is said by either Rafael Stone or a unnamed Rockets official right now, like we do have to remember that, like, last year,
they said they're good with Jalen.
Yeah, like Jalen's awesome.
Yep, and
so there is an element of like, we believe in building with our five guys for the next 10 years.
Well, they thought it was six.
Yeah,
and if they included Dylan, seven.
Yeah, or Cam Whitmore was the seven.
And they immediately got him out the door.
Yeah, but there is an element of like, I don't know, if you're to do over under like 3.5 of these guys on the team in October. Like, maybe the over, probably not five. Or if you think they're making a move, it's going to be less than five.
I think the only reason it would be five is they can't get a deal done as far as making a big trade.
And that is, like, kind of more likely. You just won't get the
You tried and
only
didn't
one
work.
Team can trade for each one of these stars.
Perhaps a star doesn't want to be here. I know people don't want to think about that, but the stars generally, unless your name is Dame, have control of where they go. Maybe they don't want to play under Ime or play in Houston, and that might be a reason you don't acquire. When Kevin Durant was very willing to come here, and that he had a really good regular season, it petered out in the playoffs, and now we have the stories being written about the bad vibes and Kevin Durant being thrust into a role he didn't actually want as being the guy who was a leader because Fred is injured, and it's very difficult to be a leader when you can't play every day. And speaking of that, bad vibes, let's hear from Rafael and Ime on that particular topic because they both pushed back on it, and particularly Rafael at the very end says, hey, how could you know when you're not here? Here are the two faces of the organization right now discussing the reporting about their locker room.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, for us, it's almost a little bit laughable when you hear things because you're like, where the hell did this come from? And it's the opposite of what we deal with on a daily basis. And I think that be echoed by the players if you ask them, you know, day to day, man to man. And so they all make jokes about it and laugh about the vibe and all that. I think you saw it throughout the season, but things are said, and it's always been the case. I've been in some bad situations, and we're far from that or anything like that. You go through your normal ups and downs of the season, and guys are frustrated with losing at times games we shouldn't lose, or you know, whatever the situation may be. But like I said, you almost turn a blind eye to it and make a joke out of it more than anything, because these reports come out and you're like, where'd it come from? What they talk about is the opposite of what we're feeling. And so don't put much stock into it, honestly, and I don't know my guys do either.
Well, yeah, I want to add to that one. One thing I did note, which I thought was really funny, is none of you in this room wrote about that. So the people who were around the team weren't the ones writing it. So that I did find that really interesting, that the people whose faces I see every day, they didn't write that. So those of you who aren't here today, you can note that.
I cut it off before the media laugh happened. Rafael got a media laugh from everybody. I just didn't want to hear it.
He handed out gold stars to everyone.
Hey, guys, you're the good ones. a little pat on the back.
Not like that evil Sam Amick.
Or Ramona Shelburne, yeah. Or Tim McMahon. They're not here every day. I will point out, poor choice of words for Ime to use the word laughable. There's another coach who's been in the media who pushed back on reporting and called it laughable and then wound up in therapy, family therapy. That was Mike Vrabel.
There wasn't more proof that came out after that, though, was there?
No, not at all. So while the Rockets may be able to keep this internal, unless a player goes on a podcast and says, yeah, it really messes up what KD said. It is the offseason, so who knows what podcast will be joined and what player will say something. Laughable is a word I would stay away from because the last time it was used, immediately it was proven that your pushback was wrong. But hey, in the article on ESPN, it discusses that particular incident. The direct messages from the burner account, and the Rockets talked about it internally, and at least according to a team source, because all these guys are on social media and young, they kind of weren't as affected by it as you might think because it was just, hey, that's the way the world is. It's social media. We don't take it as a big deal. But they did have internal discussions. It led to a meeting about other issues that the team was facing. So it did at least garner a meeting from the players. And they, in some ways, hashed some things out. In other ways, kind of pushed it aside and said, hey, whatever, that's social media. It is what it is. So that is the first of some of the sound we'll play from Ime and Rafael Stone. He had a long answer about the point guard that really didn't strike a chord with people. In fact, it just made people upset. So we know they were silent at the trade deadline or before. They did not make a move to bolster this team, and those issues were a thing down the stretch, even as they were winning the games they won late, but particularly in the playoffs when they simply did not have someone who could be a primary ball handler consistently. They just needed one more guy, and that's why they think they're right there with the best teams in the West because they believe that guy is coming back. So we'll hear more from Rafael and Ime when we get back. And I would say if you wanted your pound of flesh, you didn't get it. They were pretty steadfast, and we're fine. The injuries played a part. Yeah, we're frustrated. It was disappointing. But we are still close to being one of those teams you consider a contender. You can take that for what you will. So we'll continue to do Rockets. We'll certainly get into the Astros as they had a predictable night. You've got Okert and Weiss as your two first pitchers. It went the way you should have expected it to go against the Dodgers, who I don't know velos. I didn't look that up. But with Ryan Weiss out there, it felt like every ball had a chance to get out of the ballpark. It just depended on how elevated it was. They smacked him around, and he had to be the guy last night because they had no other pitchers to go to. There's an article from Chandler Rome in The Athletic about the roster crisis the Astros are facing simply because they can't get enough pitching. And by that, I mean just guys who can go long enough in a game. Even Eric Geddy, who only went five, and that resulted in a win, wasn't the ideal outcome. They needed more from him because of their pitching staff and how they had to stretch guys where Abreu had to go longer than they wanted. Desperate times right now. And Ryan Weiss suffered the consequences. So we'll get into that. We'll hear from Cal. And we'll do something based off of Cal's comments. Cal McNair and Hannah McNair and others like D'Amico Ryan's were at a charity event. I think it was her D'Amico Ryan's charity. And he was asked a question, Cal was, about their commitment to C.J. Stroud, which led to us thinking of a game because he says one thing, but the actions currently suggest another. So we'll get to that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. A lot of sound to get to, a lot of Rockets, Astros, and Texans to talk about. We'll do all that when we get back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
like Ime said, like, you know, we're not completely dependent upon them. It's not, you know, the offseason plan isn't, oh, they're coming back. It's fine. I think it's much more looking at our young guys and saying, you guys need to improve. You've had this year. You need to come back kind of, you know, better than you were at the end. And by the way, I think all of them were better at the end than they were at the beginning. And so so it's really, you know, that's where we're looking for the real improvement. I do think Fred and Steven will make complete recoveries. We expect that to be for the beginning of the season. But even if it bleeds a little bit, you know, if those guys, if the rest of our team is doing what they should be doing, I think we'll be in a good place.
That was some of Rafael Stone's comments about the offseason plan. And yes, internal improvement is going to matter quite a bit because they are in a tough spot. If they don't make a trade for a big name and maybe they're working more on the margins, Ime talked about improving their shooting, they're going to need steps from their young guys, incremental steps. Maybe they get an exponential leap from one of them. They become someone or a team that people and internally actually believe can go win a title. Because despite the quotes I read about this being a 10-year plan, I hope it's a 10-year plan because it feels like that's how far away they are. If you watch what happened in the game last night between the Spurs and the Wolves, the Spurs are supposed to be the number two team in the West and the Thunder's biggest challenger. The Wolves just went in there and won a game one with an Anthony Edwards on a minutes restriction. The Rockets aren't close to the Wolves either. And who knows what the Nuggets will do as they have some questions and answer after their first round exit at the hands of the Wolves. But there are multiple teams, and the Lakers are another team, clearly. What are they? Fifth, sixth in the West? So I don't know that enough internal growth can happen over one offseason if it's simply incremental to get them to a point where I seriously consider them a title contender. They may need some guy who is to be unnamed to take a leap, and who knows who that could be as they have several young players who need to get better. But beyond the youth, they can't go into next year simply hoping and praying Fred's this point guard that he's being sold to be. I don't buy it. Fred had a great back half of the Lakers Warriors series. But for the most part, people have been talking about Fred as a guy who maybe we could find an improvement on. Are we going to bring Fred back? Fred Van Fleet took a different deal. He opted out, and the Rockets gave him a deal that more matched what he was bringing to the table. Because if we remember, what he was going to go into was like a $40 million deal, the final year of his deal with the Rockets. No one believed he was worth that much. But he is certainly now being talked about as a guy who is one of the final pieces to a title team. Whether he is at full strength or not, there needs to be a guy that he may trust to be your point guard. Forget about what we think about Reed Shepard. Forget about whatever that source thinks about Reed Shepard. I need someone brought in here who Ime believes, whether Fred's hurt or they want to limit his minutes so he's not playing 37 minutes a night coming off an ACL injury, that Ime believes, if I need to, that guy can play 25 minutes a night. And on nights that maybe we don't give Fred 70-plus games because we want to save him for the playoffs, that he can start for us, and I'm not worried about it. So, sure, find your shooting. Maybe remove some of the duplicates from the roster. These are all things the coach said. But go pick a guy that you believe in. I don't care what Rafael Stone believes in, because clearly Ime, it appears, has final say on rotations. Go find Ime Udoka, guy, since he's not leaving. Go find him a guy he trusts to be your backup point guard. As far as smaller moves, that's the one I'm focusing on, because we can't do this again. Because we heard Rafael. He believes that Steven Adams and Fred are going to make full recoveries. I don't want to put that to the test with Fred over 75 games. You know what? Coming off an ACL injury, a full year between the injury plus months. Let's ease him in. Let's give the over 30 point guard less minutes. less games played and have a viable solution when he's not playing. That's all. I would hope that is part of the plan, because we found out how it went when they didn't have a backup. We will see what they do there.
36 minutes per game.
I know what's going to happen. I just don't want it to happen.
12 minutes for Reed.
I know what's going to happen. I that's why I said someone he can trust, that he can feel like that can be my point guard on nights that Fred is limited minute-wise or simply is not playing. Because unless Reed Sheppard has a giant jump as a point guard, not just as a player, we're going to be back to last season where Fred's in there for 37 minutes a night. You can't find him any spot minutes to rest because the team completely falls apart without him, without his point guard duties. I cannot believe that Fred VanVleet is this important to anyone. I've watched Fred VanVleet since the Toronto year where he has a child and he has these big moments in a playoff series or two and helps his team win a title. That was cool. But for the most part, over the last 3 or 4 years, Fred's been a below average volume shooter who doesn't turn the ball over. So that's great.
That's what it is.
That's a big deal for this Rocket team.
The shooting, who cares?
I can't.
Everyone's a below average shooter.
How? I don't know what's going on in other cities, but I feel like Fred VanVleet has been talked about the way stars get talked about in other cities.
Yeah.
Simply because he's not playing.
I'm trying to think of, like, would it be like Aaron Gordon in Denver?
I think that's a pretty good comp. The way that Aaron Gordon's important, what Aaron Gordon means to that Denver Nuggets team. But we've seen evidence of that because they went on to win a title.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, so what? We have what we would call the best player in the world. We didn't have Aaron Gordon.
We didn't have Aaron Gordon.
How can we beat the Minnesota Timberwolves without Ant?
It completely torpedoes what we can do.
Yeah.
Is Fred this team's Aaron Gordon?
It might be. I mean,
I guess
even Aaron Gordon, like, it shows up a little bit more in the stat sheet. Not that much more, but I mean, it is all the, like, it. You know what? This is a big win for it. Big win for, I'd say, boomers and Gen X basketball watchers. Need a real floor general out there. This isn't all about who can run up and down the court, play 2K. No, this is about running sets and a guy who can get you into a set at the right moment.
And having the 5-to-1 assist to turnover ratio.
That also helps, as opposed to everyone else with like I don't know, 2-to-1.
And the year before with the Rockets, it was like almost 8-to-1. So he doesn't turn the ball over. That is an admirable thing for a point guard. In fact, it's great for a point guard. His last regular season with the Rockets, he shot under 38% from the field. I know it's not all about scoring. There are ways to contribute. Find me a viable backup. That's all. If Fred's going to start, okay, cool. I mean, you would think you would try to improve over Fred VanVleet, honestly. When you actually consider things, you think the goal would be to improve over Fred VanVleet. And maybe that was what Reed Sheppard was supposed to be. But if that's not the case, find me a guy that he may trust, because not as much, because no one he trusts as much as Fred.
God,
but
no.
Find me a guy who he trusts to 70% of what he trusts Fred.
Marcus Smart, come on down.
I mean,
that's the thing, is like the Ime Udoka point guard, like chances are they're also going to shoot 36% from the field. Like,
yeah, sure.
So there is a little bit of like, going into the worst impulses of like, yeah, sure, give him another drink. give him another Josh Okogie. Josh Okogie, but a point guard. Jayshon Tate, but a point guard.
I don't need him to have full control of the roster because we see what happens.
But if it's Coby White, he's going to be like, he's going to get blown by and he's going to, nope. You're going to have to go out there again. Like, that is the biggest obstacle, is that you need a guy who's both really good on offense
Ayo Dosunmu was the guy. He was waiting out there, and you let the Wolves get him.
Yeah.
Now, there are some financial restraints, but
he'll be a free agent.
Yeah, okay. Why would you need to – you're not You're not going to pay Ayo Dosunmu what he's going to ask for, not after this playoff run. Even if you want, I don't even know if they have the non-taxpayer mid-level. I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
So they're not going to be able to pay him.
They use both of them on Capella and DFS.
Yeah, they had their chance at the trade deadline to get him on bird rights.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. So now that's Minnesota's choice to make as far as paying him what he might demand.
Alvarado? Get some Alvarado in your life?
Well, not according to Rafael. We heard we didn't hear it here, but what he talked about with point guards. I don't know if Alvarado fits the mold of what he's looking for as a point guard.
See, this is where I have some questions about this Stone Udoka pairing. Because Alvarado is basically what Ime Udoka wants. That's what he wants. He wants a team full of those guys. A team full of full court press, playing hard defense, annoying, maybe getting in a fight. On offense, who cares?
Well, we know
on offense, whatever.
We know Rafael, he wants a Reed Shepard type.
Yeah, no, I think Rafael Stone wants more Mike D'Antoni, and he has the opposite end of the spectrum as his head coach.
I have to imagine it's the reason Stephon Castle isn't here.
Yeah,
like for all the conversations about what they want at point guard, maybe the differences. You have this big point of attack defender who will likely get better as a shooter. He's not great from three. He's like 31% or whatever. But he's, as a big guard, he's shooting about 48% from the field. I believe that's what I saw. Can be a guy they lean on in a playoff game. Can harass whoever they need him to. And yet, you sided with, future Gen Z Steve Nash. So I guess I should have known. I should understand why they made the decision. They think he's a future Steve Nash type.
Yeah, and it also makes sense from like a roster like balance
situation.
Built.
Sure.
It's like, we need someone who can come off a screen and shoot a three. Yeah, like just
the Spurs didn't care.
Yeah,
like Castle and Dylan Harper, neither one is a great shooter. Just big, strong guards.
Yeah,
that they can deploy.
I will say this is just now a Spurs thing. We're getting pretty close on the Dylan Harper. Why don't you just take the reins for Fox? I know it was a bad Fox game.
Fox had a bad game, yeah.
But there is a little bit of like, I think when this thing hits its next gear, it's because
Harper's ready.
Harper's ready,
and
they can flip Fox for like someone who's 6'8". Well, that'd be very nice for them to have.
They do like big wings. Now, the thing for them was they made the trade for Fox and never assumed they jumped to a spot.
They should have known.
They're lottery, but they're the Spurs, so they just assume they should assume they were going to get great lottery luck. But they traded for Fox with no belief that they would get Dylan Harper or be in a spot to get him. They so happened to move up to number two and get him, and now they have a surplus of backcourt guys, and the Rockets are running out Josh Okogie in playoff games.
Yeah, need to. Aaron Holiday.
Desperate to. Ooh, take a look at the difference in talent level. Well, overall, just look at the rosters, but particularly when Wimby just takes it to another level, although they're a little short in the front court. The Spurs, we talked about that yesterday. Maybe that came to light even more after they lost to the Wolves. But look at all the backcourt talent the Spurs have. Wings everywhere.
It's like Wimby
wings
and
backcourt
guards.
Guys.
Yeah.
Keldon Johnson had his moments. Devin Vassell knocked down a shot. Somehow the final shot came to a Champagne. And he missed
it.
He did get an open look.
Best shooter.
He did get a great look. Just didn't make it. But Harper and Castle and Vassell and just go on. So good. You know how many minutes Harrison Barnes would be getting on the Rockets, and he can't get on the floor. That's why
would love Harrison.
He would love him. That's why the Spurs are so frustrating. Harrison Barnes would get 30 minutes a night here, and the Spurs are like, get out of here.
Hey, Tar Eason, sit next to me. Watch how ball's meant to be played.
Oh, man.
Harrison Barnes.
And with all that, all the compliments to the Spurs roster, they lost game one at home to a Wolves team.
Yeah, to a Wolves team with hobbled Ant.
I guess what I'm saying is the West is really tough.
Yeah.
The Rockets have a big offseason.
I will say, watching the playoffs, I almost do kind of believe in the, like, honestly, just kind of be, just keep running it back. And like 1 year, just enough guys are going to tear their MCL.
Sure.
Somehow
Ant came back from what we thought was a torn ACL, but he avoided that ligament injury.
One year, you're just going to get the Boston Celtics run of just everyone gets hurt.
Yeah.
Like,
it might happen.
That's because the Celtics, outside of that run, it's appalling defeat after appalling defeat. Like, there is an element of
they have lost.
Keep rolling the ball out there.
They have lost several series in the last 4 years as the big favorite. They've done it other than, as you said, winning the title, which validates everything. Unless you're Jaylen Brown, who didn't find validation, yeah, apparently, from winning a finals MVP.
Hey, Jaylen Brown, want to come to a conference where it's super harder to win a giant title?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be the man? Well, I think
we got a guy who will let you be the man right there. You know him. You love him.
Sure. I mean, paying Jaylen Brown, what is it, $60 plus million a year going forward?
Yeah, but only for a couple of years, you know.
Couple years too long.
And then he'll want 70.
Oh, that's what you mean. Like, he will.
Yeah, he's only under contract for 3 more years.
Yeah, he'll get traded and then want an extension. That's just how it goes.
Come on.
Jerry, you want to talk Rockets? Hang on. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else? 713-780-3776. After we do that, we'll talk to Jerry. We will get to some Texans, mostly because we got a game to play. Cal spoke, said they're committed to C.J. Stroud. We'll see how committed they are when we get back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listen to Texas Radio Hall of Famers John and Lance weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Let's get to Jerry here. Then we will hear from Cal McNair on the Texans' level of commitment to C.J. Stroud. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, good morning. Real simple. I blame the NBA. I understand they got to make their money, but the first round of the NBA playoffs just got to go back to 5 games. Because after game 3, you get swept, you lose 3-0, I'm ready to fire everybody. Emay, Trey Shingun. But the game 4 comes around, no Durant, Shingun wins you a game. Okay, or whatever, you win one game at home. Game 5, Jabari falls out, and you're like, man, we could run it back with these guys. We got them. And then game 6 happens. And that's why the NBA just sucks. Like, just go back to 5 games. You, of course, if you make it best of 7, best of 9, best of 11, the better team is going to win, like the Pistons. And then, like, okay, fine. The Sixers won their Game 7 series, and then they just get blown out by the Knicks last night. So it's just like, we get it. We know who the better teams are. And then just start my offseason a little bit earlier. And stop, like in Ted Lasso, don't, it's the hope that kills you. Don't give me hope. Just kill me at 3-0 and we're done with it. Thank you.
Jerry was broken by the thought of a Rockets historic comeback. Not just Ted Lasso, but Hawkeye,
mm-hmm,
where don't give me hope.
Mm-hmm. The Ronin.
The Ronin when he was the Ronin. Yeah.
I would approve of some sort of rule change for, like, maybe when it's 3-0 in the first round. All right, we're good. Because most of the time when it's 3-0 in the first round, it's OKC, Phoenix, where it's just like...
Yeah, it doesn't get to a game.
Yeah, so, like, these are, you know... So, you're going to have the two least competitive series, basically, with the ones and the twos, where it's like, all right, we can... Maybe not... It's all 5 games, but at the very least, if it's proven that this thing is over, we can just wrap this up.
So some people have the want for the number one overall seed to be able to pick their opponent. It makes it complicated with the plan because that the 8 seed...
What are you playing it for?
It's determined by on Friday, and then you have a game on Sunday. How much time do you actually have to prepare for your potential matchup? But to say that would be an advantage to give to the 1 seed. Like, hey, you get
those guys.
You pick whoever you want. If they're available, they're the team you get to play. So I think it's not a bad idea. For the 1 seed, if you're up 3-0, that's your advantage. If you get the 3-0, you don't have to win a game.
Yeah, maybe just for the 1 seed.
Yeah, for the 1 seeds, if you take a 3-0 lead, we don't make you play a game 4.
Yeah.
It's over. Series over. everyone knows the rule going in. I think, and it would add to the drama, certainly add some more drama to game three, too.
Yeah.
So you still get your elimination type feel in game three anyway. So I wouldn't be opposed to that if you do that. Jerry's more like, hey, they made me believe.
Yeah. No, his is much more just specifically what happened to the Rockets.
Look, when everyone's telling you, like, what dissenting voice is like, hey, this is ending in game six. No one was saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, historically, you could assume, because it rarely ever gets to game seven. But when you consider what we thought of the Lakers even coming into the series and the surprise that they were even up 3-0, there was a lot of momentum thinking not only could the Rockets win game six, but they could win game seven. LeBron's tiring out. It's a long series, so on and so forth. And then they just kicked the Rockets' ass for four quarters in game six.
If game three was like the start of the series, you'd be like, yeah, this is just what we kind of expected, where Rockets trick off that game but look like the better squad for the second half, and then they win the next two games, like, you know, one of them pretty easily, the second one not super easily, but they led throughout. And it's like, yeah, it's like those two Rocket wins, and even the Rocket once in a lifetime loss, it was like, yeah, this is just the Rockets outplaying the Lakers. Then the problem was that there's two games before that
where they outplayed you.
And Marcus Smart made like 10 threes.
And your margin of error was very slim.
Yeah.
And you cannot have that type of – even get off to that type of start in game six. And they were done really after the first quarter. All right, let's hear from, well, another team who had some playoff failures. One specific to their quarterback. It was a tough road for CJ. But we've got new CJ. Haircut, he's slimming down. The hype is building. Even more so than coming off last season or the 2024 season, where we had heard he was rededicating himself. He was going to go silent, like LeBron's Zero Dark 30, whatever he called it, when it's the playoffs. But for CJ, offseason, no podcast, you're not going to see me around, I'm working on my game. And then the season came along, and then the final couple games came along, and now people are rethinking the C.J. Stroud thing. Some people are. Some people are still steadfast in their belief, including the Texans, somewhat. But he's lost weight. He looks like a different individual. We will see how that plays out on the field. At a charity event yesterday, I believe it was for the D'Amico Ryans Foundation, Cal and Hannah were there, and Cal was asked about their commitment to C.J. Stroud. Here is his answer.
Well, as you know, we'll leave that up with Nick, and those communications are behind the scenes. But yeah, we're fully committed to CJ. I think you saw we extended it. We exercised his fifth-year option, and so we'll see how it all works out.
We have a real example of them being fully committed to a guy in the same draft class. There's no question how committed they are to Will Anderson. So it made me think. What Cal said is really in line with what they said all offseason, because no one's ever really followed up with, you've shown us full commitment to several of your players. You gave Derek Stingley his money, giant contract. You paid him early. You gave Danielle Hunter another extension, because that's what you love to do for Danielle Hunter. You paid Azeez Ostrier most recently. We still don't know the final numbers, but as it stands, the third highest paid off-ball linebacker in football. So, full commitment to Azeez. Certainly, you haven't shown that level of commitment to CJ, despite the fifth-year option, which seems just what, unless you're a total disaster at quarterback, if you picked in the top five, you're getting that fifth-year option. So, let's rank the people or things that the Texans are more committed to than CJ Stroud, despite their assertions to the contrary. I would go Will Anderson clearly number one. Will Anderson, they're the most committed to. He is the epitome of what they want as a Texan. He fits everything they want, and they paid him. So he has done it on the field. He's off the field, the guy they want. We understand. Will Anderson gets all his money. So he's clearly number one. I would go Derek Stingley at two. As you said, Sean, they paid him early. They got in before they really had to. Well, much like Will Anderson, they didn't have to pay him this offseason, but they did it, and it all seemed like a foregone conclusion.
Top of the market, year early.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, how much negotiation was there? Probably not much. gave him his money. No question. So those are the clear two. Now we get, and if you are a CJ supporter, you're like, okay, we get it. Those guys are all pros. Now we get into the fun stuff. I think if you pay Azeez Ansari $18 million a year for 3 years, well, that's not the number. That's not the money CJ will be getting. In fact, Azeez Ansari's total contract is what CJ is going to scoff at if they offer him that annually. Like if they go, hey, you want 54? No, that's a start. We can keep talking. So the question is, Sean, it is more years, but in actuality, it would be less money. But CJ doesn't have his deal yet. So are they more committed to Azeez Ansari currently than they are to CJ Stroud?
I think so, because like no one gets paid like a quarterback gets paid.
Yeah.
So like
you can't really have the comp. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So I think that the years, them deciding what last Thursday that they're like, we're ready for 3 more years of Azeez Ansari. They haven't made that decision yet when it comes to CJ Stroud.
At least not that we know of. We have not heard of a contract.
They've not codified it.
Yeah, we have not heard of a contract looming for CJ where we're getting close to that deal. So the Azeez Ansari numbers are out now. Base salary of 15 in 27 and 28, and then it jumps up to 17 and 29. The cap hits the next couple years before they have the ability to get out of it without the dead cap being so large. Over 22 in 27, over 22 again. And then if they decide to get out of it, the dead cap money would only be 7.1 in 29 when he's 32 years old. So that might be,
yeah,
if his play declines to a point where you're like, eh, is it worth it to have him at $22 million on the books? They can get out of it. So
$7 million isn't
not,
nothing.
It's not nothing,
yeah,
but it's a way, it's not as punishing as it would be the first couple of years. So I would agree. While the money can't be compared, you're at least saying, hey, we'd like to pay Azeez at the top of the market at the linebacker spot over the next couple seasons, at least after 2026. So they're more committed to Azeez currently than CJ. That could all change tomorrow, Sean. We can hear about a deal tomorrow, and that would change what we think. But
sign that piece of paper.
So here's a question. Let's play, in fact, to even further the fun, let's play, it says Timon over there, not the Warthog.
Love that.
Yeah. Great.
Also,
great
he's
character.
The meerkat. Pumbaa's the...
Oh, you're right. That's on me. I always go back and forth getting those wrong, but shout out to Disney adult Sean for correcting me.
More of a Disney child.
I know. It's all...
That was like my go.
Oh, Lion King was a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. Aladdin was mine. Came earlier, and
Aladdin's up there, too.
Yeah.
So Mount Rushmore.
So he's right. Timon, the meerkat. Pumbaa. The Warthog. But this is just like the president of getting stadiums built, Mike Timon. Here is Mike Timon on the possibility of staying at Reliant.
I mean, the focus, I'll even get a little more micro. The focus is Reliant Park. Like, that is our focus. And so the reason we feel that way is if you take a step back and you look at Reliant Park, just the attributes of it, you have 350 contiguous acres on major arteries with the 610, and that's soon tough. To be the third largest city in the United States. Like, that is pretty special. And so when we think about our partnership with the rodeo, we're both aligned on, we'll do everything we can to make it work on that specific site, because we really think that can be transformative.
You heard me laughing because Mike Timon showed himself to not be someone from around here when he said the 610. And Sean made a reference to one of the major scenes in Inglourious Basterds where we saw Dirk Nowitzki, how he throws up the three versus how an American would.
Yeah, Fassbender threw up the American three.
And that was a clear sign that he was English, yeah, not German. And that started that firefight in that downstairs basement
bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Timon showed himself to be from someplace else. Calling it 610 has infiltrated my mind so much that I'm from California, and when John said the 405, I thought that was the wrong way of saying it. When in fact, that's how Californians talk about their highways. They go the.
Yeah. The 10.
The 10, the 45, the 91. I thought that's not how you say it, because I've been here long enough where it's 610, it's 45, it's 59. Mike Timon, get with it.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up where he's from. Can't find any.
It's not from here. So, Sean, since we played that clip, because I ask you this. Considering some of the conversations about where the Texans might build a new stadium, whether they would refurbish what was NRG, now Reliant again, are they more committed to Reliant Park, considering what you heard from Mike Timone, than they are to CJ Stroud?
I mean, they definitely sound more committed. I mean, he gave me the full "I am being sold something" pitch. When you look at it in the micro level, so whatever continuous acres, like, yeah, they love themselves some Reliant Park. Maybe we've been, you know, looking at Bridgeland, looking at all these other places of where, you know, if they do move out of Reliant Stadium, where they could go. Sounds like might just move somewhere else in Reliant Park, just build a stadium somewhere else in that giant area, and, you know, have to move around some parking spaces or whatever. But yeah, it sounds like they're very, I mean, and the change back to Reliant Stadium, come on, they're pulling at our heartstrings. They're pulling at the nostalgia. There's nostalgia baiting for the first, I don't know, 15 years of Houston Texans
that
football.
That video by our good friend,
they got McConaughey.
McConaughey got to you, didn't it?
Yeah, come on.
How
all you, those great moments.
Sure, the name has changed, but it never left us, I believe, yeah, is one of the quotes from the video.
All the great moments from Reliant Stadium.
All the great moments.
The J.J. Watt playoff touchdown.
Sure. The pick six?
Yeah.
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 At least I thought.
Rosencopter.
That's not. It's infamous.
It was memorable.
Yeah, you still remember it to this day. That's proof of that.
The second one I thought of. Third one's Wes Welker tearing his ACL.
I ain't going to lie. The kickoff return by the Chiefs is at front of mind, too, unfortunately.
Yeah. Niall Davis.
In the same game where they did the Wattcat and it didn't work.
Yeah,
the same
game. Yeah. Hoyer threw five interceptions.
I don't like that we're continuing to mention things that went against them. I mean, Vince Young, the run to the
that Monday night game?
Yeah. All these things.
That was awesome.
They've had some good moments, too, particularly recently.
Well, that's NRG, you know?
That's true. It's not Reliant.
I'm going Reliant.
You make a point. Some of that stuff's NRG. So, we've got Will Anderson, more committed to, Stingley, Aziz Ashayer, and Reliant Stadium / Park.
Yeah, definitely Park. Yeah. Stadium, we'll see.
Is there anyone or anything that's, because right now we'd have CJ at 5 if we go by this list.
I mean, CJ is on this year and the fifth year option that they are committed to exercising.
Sure. Is there anyone or anything that...
Reed Blankenship signed a 3-year deal.
Yeah, but...
Three years,
I'm sure if I look
like
at
24
it,
million.
I'm sure if I look at it, they can get out of it after like two. That's kind of how these things go.
Jalen Petrie got his second contract. CJ Stroud can't say.
Hmm. I don't want to do it, but it's not a bad point. I'm going to put.
They're deciding to pay these people.
Yes,
they're actively making the decision to give these guys.
I don't know how you consider
dollars.
What you consider the fifth year option about decision or checking a box and getting that done. More paperwork than anything else.
If you stink, you don't get it extended.
Pretty much, as I said, as a quarterback. So Petrie is signed through 2028, which CJ Stroud is not. Okay,
he's part of the swarm mentality.
Jalen Petrie's number 5, I guess. Does he come in at 6 then? They're committed to him 6 most, excluding DeMeco. Because, of course, DeMeco may be just
top
of the list.
You're asking me if he's before or after Reliant Park?
Well, no. I have Reliant Park ahead of Petrie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm asking you if he's 6 behind Petrie or ahead of Petrie.
Oh, Stroud.
Yeah, Stroud.
Let me think. Can I think of someone at Keelan Rutledge?
No.
They decided to
draft CJ, too. You can't use they decide to draft Keelan Rutledge as a reason why.
They traded up. They spent capital.
Stop it.
What's David Montgomery's contract looking like these days?
No. Now we're just reaching. At least
Ed Ingram. Ed Ingram's one that they actually signed for 3 years.
At not top of the market guard money, but pretty good.
Upper echelon.
Yeah. I don't like going here, but financially.
I love going here.
I know you do. Clearly, you're having a great time.
Wait, do we have Danielle Hunter?
We have not thrown him on the list. Because his short-term extensions are, in fact, short-term, but they keep paying him.
They do it a lot. They love him.
They love paying Danielle Hunter money. So, yeah, he goes on the list. So
but he's lower on the list, though, because of the contract situation.
Below CJ?
No.
Below Ingram. So you've got Ingram, Hunter, then CJ? So each CJ is about 8th?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Top number 10. 7 in the program, number 8 in the hearts of the Houston Texans' wallet at the very least.
At a minimum. He's got a year to change that. And maybe
Nico Collins.
He's got a short term deal though.
Yeah, I guess
they haven't extended him yet.
So do you think it's extended first, Nico Collins
think,
or
I think
shot?
You know my answer, but you're making me say it.
It's
while,
my answer too.
While Nico's production is dependent on CJ Stroud, I think Nico gets his deal before CJ gets his deal. Because I believe that I believe they think, and rightfully so, that as long as Nico's healthy and we have semi-competent quarterback play, he's going to put up numbers.
Yeah. I'll give CJ semi-competent.
Yeah.
Mostly competent.
Mostly competent. There's just been some real peaks and valleys, and the valleys came most recently. So, yeah, he's about seventh or eighth, depending on how you feel. And if they decide to give him a deal this offseason, that can change.
Yeah. He'll be number
one. Likely, if they give him a deal, he'll be one.
Yeah. Depending on how it's structured, but yeah.
Yeah, it's true. So we're not far away from changing our list, but as it stands now, we have an inanimate object who they were trying to move away from ahead of him.
Probably billions of real estate dollars, but yeah.
They're certainly more committed to Toro Town or Toro District than CJ.
Oh, my God. Number one.
At the top.
Number
That's
one.
That's the thing they're most committed to.
Yeah.
Even D'Amico can't challenge
Bridgeland,
that.
Bridgeland.
Yeah,
the city of Bridgeland.
The city of Bridgeland, the Texans are most committed to with the investment they're about to make there. All right, we'll go to break. Yeah, just play better. Then we don't have
we
to
wouldn't
do
have
this.
To do
we wouldn't have to do this if he didn't do what he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Patriots. We would have a much different conversation, and then they wouldn't be talking about how exercising the fifth-year options is a clear sign that they're committed to the quarterback. Okay. I do hope at some point when people talk about C.J. Stroud, they stop saying he's won a playoff game in every season he's played, and as if that's supposed to mean something as far as his future with the team. Because you know what they won't do, the people who do that, they won't bring it up as a reason why they were wrong. They'll be like, they won't even mention it. They'll use it as a defense now, but if the Texans pay him and he doesn't play well, they're not going to be like, well, it made sense. He had won three playoff games in his first year. They will go to, hey, he never got past the division round. Why would you ever pay him?
He only won one playoff game every year.
Yeah.
He won one playoff game every year.
Yeah, it'll change because no one wants to admit to the wrong, to being wrong or look wrong. Hopefully CJ doesn't make them look wrong. Their belief in them is justified. His season four will have a lot to say about that. All right, we'll go to break. We'll do some Astros because it was a rough one. Kyle Tucker is back as a Dodger. He got booed. Didn't matter. He pulled a Jose Altuve. You boo me, I make you pay. He did that thanks to Ryan Weiss. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.